Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? We're going to say his name three times. Say it like you mean it. Say it like you love it. Ready? One, Jesus. Two, Jesus. Three, Jesus. And the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Be seated. Hey, choir, thank you for that. I'm going to say hey to you one time. I can't preach at you today. They told me to stay behind this pulpit. I don't have a wireless mic. I can't move, so I can't turn around to preach to you today, even though I've been told y'all really need this sermon. So, and then on top of that, I'm starting to come up here to preach. Joel hands me this bottle of water, says, here, you need this. I don't want a dry sermon today, so... Hey, it's good to see you. y'all embarrass me doing that. Don't do that. We have looked forward to coming back since Joel texted me a couple months ago now and asked me if I could come preach today. It's been almost since 6 months since we've left. But you know what? It doesn't seem like that long, and we love you folks. We love this church. It's good to hear so many good things happening here. I'm so excited for you. I have loved to get to know Joel. I want to play golf with him all the time, because the last time I played golf with him, I had a hole in one while we were playing out here. And I told him then, he videoed it, and I said, you know, if I had that, if I was still at Noonan, I would have started the worship service showing that video. But I appreciate him deeply, and thank you, brother, for inviting me to preach today. My only problem with him inviting me to preach, most of the time when I've been invited to preach churches, they just say, Brother Ken, preach whatever God puts on your heart. And that's what I've tried to do. He tells me what to preach when I came back here. He didn't ask me. He just said, this is your text, this is your topic, this is what I want you to preach on. And after I read our verses in a minute, you'll understand why he didn't want to preach on them and he wanted me to preach on them today. Chicken. I have to tell one funny story on Joel. I think I've told you this. I hope you don't mind me telling it, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Right after we left and during the summertime, we met the Moores at Gwinnett to see the Gwinnett Stripers play baseball, Braves AAA team. And they were seated down front. We went down there to be seated, and their boys were already seating down there where we were sitting. And I'm not going to tell you which one of his boys said this to me, but as soon as I passed by, he stopped me. He said, Brother King, I got to apologize to you. I said, why is that? He said, I used to complain about how long you preach, but then Joel came. I didn't know what to say to that. I didn't respond. I just said, well, bless you, my son. And anyway, just left. Joel has been in a series entitled Anchored Out of 1 John. Well, what a great book. If I had been here another 3 years, which I thought I was going to be before y'all got a pastor, I probably would have preached through this great book, because it's just one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's great for new believers. In fact, I know he's already told you this, you find the word little children written oftentimes in here. And John wrote the book to those new in the faith. And what a great book it is to give to a new believer. But it's not just a book for new believers. It's for those of us who are mature in the faith. And what great truths that John teaches us through this short book that we call 1 John. And what a great title for a series out of that, Anchored. Hey, brother, I listened to your message last week. Amen. He did a great job on a tough topic. And I hope you listened to it, and obviously maybe some of you did. This morning's verses, I'm going to do what he kind of has done on the first part of it, and then the rest of it's just me, okay? I can't do like he's done. I'm not going to try to do that. But there is the title of the message today is Anchored in Truth. Our text is 1 John 2, verses 18 to 24. Those are the verses we're going to be looking at. I'll go ahead and give you my outline. 2 points, simple outline to these verses. John shares his concern and John shares his counsel. That's about as simple as I can make it for you. He's concerned about something of deep importance. He is concerned for those in the church who have been deceived. Now let me say that again. Those in the church who have been deceived. And then he gives some words of counsel to those who are in the church. The big idea that Joel's been sharing with you each one, I don't have big ideas in my sermons, so this is what he gave me. This is a good one to remember. God's truth exposes the deadly deception of the enemy. The focus of these verses, discernment of truth, is crucial to protecting ourselves from the deception of false teaching. So that's what we're going to look at this morning in my hour and a half that he gave me to preach to you today. 1 John 2, verses 18 to 27. If you'll please stand with me in honor of God's word, I'll read our verses out loud. You follow along in your copy of the Bible. John writes and he says, "Children, it is the last hour. And just as you've heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They, the Antichrist, they went out from us because they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are all not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father." Lord, thank you for these words today. What powerful words they are. I pray you'll speak to our hearts, help us to understand them, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, the will to obey. Lord, we confess this morning, unless your Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us into truth, we'll not know truth and we'll not be able to apply it. So help us. Give us understanding. May Jesus be honored. May Jesus be glorified. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At the very beginning, he uses a phrase that he uses often in his book, children or little children. Again, speaking to those in the church that claim to be children of God. He says, children, it is the last hour. It is the last hour. When a child is born and is growing in his life on this earth, a parent teaches them many things, but one of the things you have to teach a child is how to tell time. We all need to know that. And John tells these early believers, hey, you need to know we're living in the last days. You need to recognize. He's going to tell them why he says that in just a moment. And folks, think about this. They really did think they were living in the last days back in John's time. Jesus had been crucified. He'd been resurrected. He ascended to the Father. He had taught his followers well about the last days. The church was quickly being persecuted. And many in those last days, particularly in this time that John was writing, thought they were genuinely living in those last days. Well, in God's timetable, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. That was not the last days, but it began the last days. And think about this. If they thought 2,000 years ago they were living in the last days, how much closer we are to those last days today. In fact, the truth of the matter is, I heard somebody put it this way once, we're not living in the last days, we're living in the last seconds of the last days. If you know anything about Bible prophecy, you know anything about what it's going to be like in these last days. That's certainly true. One preacher said this, "I've stopped looking for signs and I'm just listening for a shout." That's how close we really are in these last days. But John writes, and he is concerned about something going on in the church. There seems to be those that at one time were in the church that have gone away. That's the words he uses. They have been deceived. They have become antichrist, and he's concerned about that. And he writes to warn the church and also to give them instruction about what they need to do to keep from being deceived. John's not the only one that said it was going to be like that in the last days. And by the way, it will get worse the closer to the return of Jesus we get. Paul wrote once, 1 Timothy 4:1, and he said these words, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." And boy, we're seeing that even in the church today. Those that have left the fundamental truths of the faith, and they're following after, Paul calls them doctrines of demons, deceitful spirits. They're being deceived. Jesus warned about that in his ministry. He taught about it often. In fact, when he listed in Matthew 24 many of the signs of the last days, that's one of the major signs. Many will fall away from the truth. What about the parable of the wheat and the tares? Jesus said in the end times, the church will be made up of those that are called wheat, which is symbolic of true believers. And there'll be those within the church that are tares, false believers, those that have been deceived about their relationship with Jesus. And John is very concerned about that in his writing. And folks, I have to say to you today, over these years of ministry now, many years, I've watched it. People who come to church, they would tell you that they are a Christian. They probably have joined somebody's church, probably been baptized in somebody's church, but the truth of the matter is they are totally deceived about being a true child of God. They're not children of God at all because of deception. They fool themselves. They are lost. And John uses a strong phrase to describe such. They're antichrist. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. In fact, notice again verse 19 back in our text. He uses two words. He talks about they, speaking of those who have left. He speaks of us, those who have remained faithful. Six times he talks about they. Five times he talks about us. John is talking about those who have gone away and those who have faithfully remained. And the same is true today in the church. It's particularly true in the Americanized church today. Oh, we got people today, you ask them about their relationship with Jesus. Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, good. I'm a Baptist too. But that's not what's important. You better know you're a born-again child of God first. You better know that you've been saved. You better know that you've been rescued from an eternity from hell. That's what you better know. You better make sure you're a little child of God. That's what's important. Many are deceived. So John writes concerning this. Now, John's concern in these verses, I think he points out for us three crucial marks about those who go away, and then John gives us some clear words of counsel to the true believer that remains. John is writing and most concerned about those who have been deceived. I would describe them, now listen carefully, these are my words, but I think it is a fair description. He is writing about lost church members. Now let me say that again. Lost church members. So let's see what he has to say about that, and then we'll see his counsel to us. Three distinctive marks that he is concerned about of that lost church member. Mark number one, there will be denial. Denial. In other words, lost church members deny the Christ. They deny Jesus. And you know what? we got people in our churches today doing that left and right. Oh, they'll talk about Jesus, but ask them, is he the Christ? And they'll beat around the bush. And then ask them a more pointed question. Is he Lord of your life? And by the way, if he's not Lord of your life, you're not saved at all anyway. We like a convenient Jesus nowadays. But is he the Lord of your life? That's the Jesus who's the Christ of the Bible. Verses 8 and verse 22, 23, children, it is the last hour. And just as you've heard that Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have appeared. From this, we know it's the last hour. Who is the liar? Boy, he don't beat around the bush, does he, Joel? But he just calls it as it is. Who is the liar? He asked, but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist. The one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. John introduces us here to two interesting terms. The word Antichrist, singular. The word Antichrist, plural. He says here, there is coming the Antichrist, singular. One of the marks of the last days will be that there will be a man who will take over the world, who will come promising peace, but there will be no peace. One of these days, there is going to be a ruler who will come onto the scene, promising all kind of things for us, but will in the end up deceiving the multitude of millions found around this world. His name in the Bible is the Antichrist. We don't know who he is. It's been interesting over these years to hear Bible teachers predict who they think it's going to be. He hasn't shown up yet, but I do personally believe he's on planet Earth right now, and I do personally believe he's positioning himself to take over at any moment. That kind of limits who it's going to be, but that's what's happening behind the scenes. In fact, it's written this way in the scriptures about him, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 4. Now we request, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by our spirit or message or letter as if it's come from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless, first of all, the apostasy comes. What's the apostasy? It's the falling away. It's many claiming to believe but fall away. That's going to mark the last days. And then he says, the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple, displaying himself to be God. That's coming. And by the way, for those of you who love to study prophecy, if you see what's happening in Israel right now, let me tell you something. This is pretty close. This could happen any moment. It could happen quicker than most of us even realize. This very prophecy coming about. So John talks about the coming Antichrist. But here's the term that I want to focus on for a moment. He also talks about and mentions Antichrist, plural. He's telling us that before the Antichrist singular comes, there is coming many Antichrist in the last days. These Antichrists were in existence in the days of John, and they were leading people astray as he was writing about. But it will get worse as we get closer to the last days. John writes about this often in his writings. 1 John 4, 1 to 3, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you've heard and that is coming and now is already in the world. 2 John verse 7. 2 John only has one chapter, so it didn't give you a chapter and verse, just verse only. 2 John verse 2, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. I'm sure that a lost church member would probably never think of himself or herself as an antichrist, but can I assure you this morning that's what they are, or that's what you are if you happen to be one? The word anti means opposing. And you know what, folks, we've lost this concept of Christianity in our culture. You're either living for Jesus or you're against Jesus. Did you know that? He's either Lord of your life or you have denied him. He's either who he claimed to be, and you show that by your yielding yourself totally to him, or he's not in your life and you've denied him. You've become an antichrist. You have denied him by the way you're living. It's not just with words you deny Jesus. You deny him by the way you live. And John says there's many. And there's more coming. Jesus once said this, Matthew 12:30. These are not one of those verses that people today like to preach on about Jesus. But he said this once, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. That's the spirit of Antichrist. They deny Jesus by the way they live. They deny the Christ. And that's one of the marks that John was concerned with. And I wonder how many people we have in our churches today that would say that they are a Christian, but they deny Jesus by the way they live. Lost church members deny Christ. Denial. Second mark is desertion. Desertion. Lost church members not only deny the Christ, lost church members desert the church. Now, you know, one of the things that I appreciate about the Bible and studying it all these years is how simple the Bible is and how clear it is. God does not stutter when he speaks. Somebody said once, it's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that give me trouble. It's the parts I do understand. And that's true. John's as simple as it can be here. He makes it so simple anybody can understand it. They, those who've denied Jesus, who are lost, they went out from us. Now listen. But they were really not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. There's a lot of ways you can desert the Lord Jesus. And people have. There's physical desertion where people just up and leave. Now, folks, I realize this morning, and I hope you hear me clearly, I know that membership in a church does not save us. I do realize this morning that just being baptized and a member of a church alone does not give us the promise of salvation. It's our relationship with Christ that does. But the Bible also makes it absolutely clear, if you are a true believer and you have a vital relationship with Christ, you're going to love his church. You're going to love his body. The church universal, certainly. The church local, just as important. We find verse after verse in the New Testament of the teaching of how important it is that we are a part of a local body of church. We're going to talk about that for a few moments, I think, if I get to it. It's there clearly. But here John says, one of the ways you can know these antichrists is they just leave us. And they leave because they were never a part of us to begin with. We got churches all across our country that has multitudes of people's names on their rolls and you haven't seen them in years. I don't know what y'all are running now here, probably 500-600 somewhere in that neighborhood. I was told this morning y'all had 1,900 on your church rolls. I really think it's more than that. Y'all must have cleaned it up some. Good for you if you did. But folks, think about it. Even if those numbers are true, and I realize not everybody's going to be here on any given Sunday, and some people have legitimate reasons for not being here. I understand that. But there's people who has their names on the church rolls of First Baptist Church of Noonan, Georgia that haven't been here in 10, 20 years, and they're not going anywhere. What's wrong with these people? Where are they? Don't tell me they're right with God. They can't be. I think I told this story, but I mentioned in the first service this morning, if I can't remember whether I told it or not, you won't remember if I told it if I did. So this is right after I went to First Baptist Church of Cuthbert down in South Georgia to pastor, and the gentleman that had pastored the church, two gentlemen in the past, was my first pastor I served under at First Baptist Church of Dawson. And really, I got to First Baptist of Cuthbert by way of James Mallard's recommendation. And after I became pastor there, moved in, got going, James called me up one day. He was still pastor at First Dawson at the time. And he said, Ken, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. And he said, I'm not going to ask you to do but this one favor. He said, I won't keep calling you about this. But he said, there was a family that was coming when I was there that I understand no longer goes to church at First Baptist or anywhere else. And he said, would you go by and visit with them and see if you can get them to come back? And I told him I'd be glad to do that. And after a little while, I did. I made an appointment with this particular family. My minister of music and I went by to see them. We had made an appointment for an evening, and I thought it was interesting. When we got there, the husband conveniently found a reason not to be there, knowing we were coming. Didn't surprise me, but kind of revealing. Anyway, we went in, and after a little while of small talk, I was real honest with her. Told her why I was there. Told her about Brother James's concern, what he had asked me to do. Well, she immediately started going into her excuse mode. She blamed the past preacher. We don't go to church anymore because we didn't like the past preacher. Well, folks, can I just tell you, when you stand before the judgment, that's not going to get you very far. You understand that? Some people don't understand that. God's not going to let you blame your disobedience on another preacher. Well, anyway, she didn't like the last preacher. So they stopped coming. At least that's what she told me. And then she went on to say that her and her husband had talked over it. And whenever they got a new preacher, they would start coming. So I smiled at her. And I just said, well, here he is. I'll see you in church Sunday. I was pastor there almost 6 years. You know how many times I came? One time. And that was for a funeral. Now I want you to listen to me. And I hope whoever listens to this tape down the road hears me. You can blame that on a pastor all you want. But their problem was not another preacher. Their problem's a spiritual problem with God. And their hearts are either so backslidden they can't see it, or they're as lost as a heathen out in the world. And they're deceived. And they'll die in their deception if they don't get right with God. They went out from us. They were never apart to begin with. And their leaving only proved that they were not right with God to begin with. Physical desertion. There's moral desertion also. Boy, how many people claim to be Christians today and they believe all kind of things and embrace all kind of wicked lifestyles. The church today, why are we even having discussions about homosexual ordinations in churches and allowing homosexuals to be married in our churches? And why are we even discussing some of this transgender foolishness that we are? Why are we allowing these things in the name of, some of them, Christian? Lord, have mercy. We've turned our back on the moral truths of Scripture. We've deserted the faith. And if that's not bad enough, what about theological desertion? Those who at one time held to some form of belief in the foundational truths of the gospel, but yet now we want to believe in a Jesus that makes us feel good. Y'all ever see these He Gets Us advertisements on TV? They're horrible. They want to present a Jesus that is not the biblical Jesus. They have so perverted the gospel, it's unbelievable. They've so twisted and turned who Jesus is, it's unbelievable. But yet people watch it go, that's the Jesus I want. Southern Baptist Convention a few years ago, I'll give this and I'll wrap this up quickly. We were there at a convention. They were discussing a resolution that was coming to the floor. Resolutions are funny things at our Southern Baptist Convention, but we were making a resolution on a foundational, fundamental truth that is both biblical in its nature, but it's been a Baptist fundamental truth for many, many years, and that was the fact that Jesus alone brings salvation. Only faith can be found in Jesus Christ. Salvation comes only through him. And the only way to escape an eternity in hell is by faith in Jesus Christ. Now that's been a foundational, fundamental doctrinal truth of the church since the time of Christ. Still is today too, folks, by the way. While the resolution was being discussed, I mean, that should have been a no-brainer. Everybody at the Southern Baptist Convention ought to go, amen! One pastor. Now let me repeat that. One pastor made the following statement. I'm ashamed to even say he was a pastor. I quote him. This was in a Baptist convention. I understand, he said, God to be a gracious, life-giving mystery, and who for me he is most clearly encountered in the human Jesus, the Christ. Therefore, I am a Christian. Well, that's pretty poor right there. That should have been enough. But then he goes on to say the following. And by the way, I read this because there's a lot of people sitting in our pews in churches today that believe what I'm about to read, and they are deadly wrong. I assume, he said, that there are other lights, other understandings of God's movement of love and justice in the world. To judge with certainty another person's relationship to God is, for me, the height of arrogance. I assume there are other lights, other understandings of the movements of love and justice in our world. You know what he said? He said the same thing Oprah Winfrey said one time on her show. Oh, there's many ways to get to heaven. Jesus is not the only way. Well, I beg to argue, you're wrong. And folks, if you believe anything other than that, you've denied the faith. You've denied the truth. What do you do with John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. What do you do with Acts 4:12 that says, and there is salvation and no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven by which we've been saved? What do you do with 1 Timothy 2:5, which says, for there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ? There's only one way to be saved, and his name is Jesus. There is no other way. Amen. And how many in our culture today have denied the faith? Oh, I assume there's many ways to salvation. You're wrong. You've been deceived if that's what you believe. And that's why John writes what he does. Lost church members deny the Christ. Denial. They desert the church. He also tells us, verse 26, lost church members deceive the Christian, and they deceive in a multitude of ways. And lost church members, those who are not right with God, live their lives in such a way that by their contrary lifestyle, they are denying people all around them. They deny that Jesus is real. And let me just say this morning, if you claim to be a Christian, your life doesn't reflect it, you're denying Jesus by the way you live. Also, the tragedy of lost church members. That was the concern of John. All right, it's time to quit. Your clock runs a whole lot faster than my clock runs here, Joel. You know what? They didn't have that thing when I was here. So I'm going to do what you do with it. I'm going to ignore it for just a few more minutes. He'll never invite me back after this, will he? Y'all see why he didn't want to deal with these verses? Hey, I hope you hear my heart. I told the first service how I got through. I came back up there. I said, hey, I hope you heard my heart this morning. I said, I told you the truth this morning. Amen. And most folks amen me. And then I said, I hope Joel asked me to come back next time, give me the text, God is love. I can preach on that next time. I'm going to have to deal with these. But folks, here's the concern. People all around us are deceived. And my concern for the church, I'm not talking about just this church, all churches, because I see it all the time. People who think because they joined a church 50 years ago, they're saved, when that has not made a lick of difference in their life all these years, and they've denied Jesus all their life, and they think somehow when they die, they're going to wake up in heaven. I just got news for you. That is not true. You've been deceived. The spirit of Antichrist. And John writes to warn us. He gives some counsel, though, to those who are the true children of God. How do you protect yourself? How can we guard against that to make sure we don't get caught up in that spirit of Antichrist? What does the church need to be doing? There's one word that he uses in verse 24. He uses it three times, and I think you can apply the truth of that word to other things that he said in this whole section of scriptures. It's the word abide. Abide. That's his counsel. Abide. He tells these believers, abide in the church. Abide in the truth. Abide in the Spirit. Abide in the church. He talked about those who faithfully remained in the church earlier. And folks, there's so much we could say about that. But again, if you know God's word at all, God commends us to a local fellowship. We are not to forsake the assembling together of the saints. We are to be a part of a church that will help teach us and guide us and guard us. And for those of you that are members of this church, and you have been, thank God, God has given you a fellowship that helps and is concerned about your spiritual growth and will teach you and preach to you the truth of God's word and wants to see you prosper in the things of the Lord Jesus. And if you're here today looking for a church home and you don't have one, I would recommend and commend this church to you. But find somewhere that's going to help you as a believer grow in the faith and not walk the ways of this world. When we left here, I remember, I don't know that you knew this, and it really doesn't matter that you knew it, but when we came here, I had done an interim down in South Georgia. I had not joined down there because Robin couldn't go with me most weeks. My membership was in South Carolina. I needed to get back to a Georgia Baptist church because only Georgia Baptists are going to heaven, not people from South Carolina. And we joined here, and our membership, church membership, was here for 3 years because we were here. This was our church home, and we made it our church home. When I left here for the last 5 months, I've been doing just pulpit supply along the way. I'm going to start a new interim ministry the first of the year. But we needed, I knew, I preached this on my ministry, but I knew it biblically. I needed to be a part of a strong New Testament church. So we prayed, Lord, where do you want us to go? We went to one church. We only visited one church. God led us to it. We never went anywhere else. We knew the first moment we walked in there, this is where we need to be. Robin and I joined Prince Avenue Baptist Church in Athens, Georgia. They relocated out towards us. We're a part of that fellowship now. And the few Sundays that I've had the privilege to be there, and Robin's been there more than I have had, they've already been a blessing to us. When the pastor of the church, Josh, gets up to preach, you know what the first words out of his mouth are? I wanted to hug him the first Sunday I was there. He walks up and he says the following, take your Bibles and turn in them with me. He went to the Ken Hall School of Preaching. No, he didn't. He just was taught right. Hey, I don't have anything to say to you. The Bible does, though. That's what you need in a church home. Abide in it. Be thankful for it. And if you're not an active member of this church, shame on you. Shame on you. You need this church. This church needs you. Get involved. Get active. Let it minister to you. But hey, you minister to it. Now, can I, what do you do? What do you do? Amen? Abide in the church. Secondly, abide in the word. Be anchored to the truth. John says, verse 24, speaks of that which they had heard from the beginning. What had they heard? They had heard the faithful teaching of God's word from God's teachers. Paul tells us in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hey, folks, where can we find truth today? Well, we find it in a person, Jesus. But folks, we also find truth in God's word. I've got words, scriptures there. I'm not going to take the time to read. I'm going to finish up because I already said that 10 minutes ago. But you go read those verses later. You want to keep from being deceived? You want to walk in freedom? You want to walk knowing God? Go to the word. Don't go to the word. Don't go to the world. Go to the word. Let the word teach you. Thy word is truth. And wise is that man of God, that woman of God, who will take God's word and saturate his heart and his mind with it. Abide in the word. Abide in the church. Then John says, abide in the spirit. Oh, I love these verses. I love these verses. Verse 20, verse 27, and I'm through. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. As for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. You have no need of anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, it is true. It is not a lie. And just as it taught you, you abide in him. How can the believer stand strong in these days of deceit? Abide in the church. Boy, get in a good, strong, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching fellowship and give your life to it. Abide in the word. Let God's truth saturate your mind, your thoughts, your thinking. Find truth in his word and apply it to your life. And then, folks, abide in the Spirit. It's the reason the Bible says be filled with the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. He guides us. He teaches us. And boy, if you hear something out there, doesn't that sound right? It's amazing how the Holy Spirit can let you know error when it comes. It's amazing how he can guide you away from error when it comes your way and can lead you to truth if you're only looking for it. My little children, it is the last hour. Don't be deceived, but you abide in the church. You abide in the truth. You abide in the Spirit. Father, thank you for your word today. What great truths are here. Lord, there's so much that could be unpacked in those verses. It's unbelievable. Lord, my prayer is twofold this morning. Number one, if there's somebody who is here today or someone that is listening online who maybe would be described as that person who used to be here, used to be in church somewhere, but all of a sudden they no longer go. Lord, you know we're not talking about those who's sick and can't be here. They'd love to be here. You know their heart. We're not talking about somebody that maybe left this church for another church for some reason. But these are those who at one time were faithful to your fellowship who no longer go anywhere. They're no longer concerned about going anywhere. Oh, Lord, I pray you'll just prick their heart. I pray they'll take a serious look at where their heart really is with you. I pray that you'll help them see the truth and either repent as a believer of their unfaithfulness to your fellowship. Oh God, you let them see by their absence that they went out because they were never really a part to begin with. Holy Spirit, only you can bring such a conviction. Holy Spirit, only you can bring a person to repentance. So I trust you to do that today. And then, Lord, for all of us who are truly your little children, help us to walk in truth. Help us to be anchored to your truth. Thank you for a church family like this one that faithfully teaches your word, wants to see your people saturated in truth. Lord, we give you thanks, but help us to be those that don't just hear and take it for granted, who hear it and apply it to our hearts and our lives. Help us to seek your truth day in and day out. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you work in our hearts to guide us into truth. Help us to obey it. Help us to walk in it. And for that, we'll give you the praise and the glory. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, in just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet. There'll be those who will be down front to receive this morning. If you're here today and you need to give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, I cannot think of a better time, better place than right here, right now. The truth of the matter is today, if you don't have Christ, if you were to die, you would go into eternity without God in a place called hell. But the truth of the gospel also is that God loved us so much, even in our lost condition, that he did something about that in sending his son Jesus to die on a cross, to take our sin upon himself, to pay the price for our sins so that we might be able to spend eternity with him in heaven. He did that because he loves us. So if you're here today and you've never believed in Jesus, you've never trusted in him, he's never become your Lord, your Savior. Again, there's never not a better place, better time, better opportunity than right now. So as we sing in a moment, as these are down front, would you come just take one of these men or women by the hand and just say to them, hey, I need to give my heart, my life to Jesus. And it will be their great delight to share with you, to pray with you, to help you find your way to Christ today. Would you come? And then, Christian, if God has spoken to you, maybe someone here today, man, you've been playing church. You've been playing with God. Well, I hope the Lord spoke to you. I hope he convicted you deeply. Hope he moves you to repentance. It means to change your mind, to change your heart, to change your living. You can come to this altar to pray if you can get to it, or maybe just right there at your pew. You just need to do business with God. This is the time for you to come. Maybe someone here today knows, hey, this is, we've been visiting here. We know this is where God wants us to serve. I know Brother Joel would be delighted to receive you on behalf of this church family today. You come be an active member of this church. Serve Jesus here. Let this church serve you. You come and make that known also. Father, help us in this decision time, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Lead us in our singing. You respond as God has spoken to your heart this morning.